Our words are powerful. With our words, we have the ability to build somebody up. We have the ability to tear somebody down. With our words, we have the ability to encourage somebody. We have the ability to discourage somebody. A bit of a fun fact for you, even though the tongue is a small part of our body, it has 8 muscles. And the average length of a tongue is 4 inches long. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of their life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Whoa. Actions speak louder than words. I'm sure that most of you have heard that story or that saying. Usually that is something that is associated with any conversation around the word love. And typically the way it will go is that talk is cheap when we are discussing or confessing our love for somebody, but it really is the actions that speak louder than that word. If you have a chance, check out Phil's message on Love Advent theme, and he unpacks that particular reality. So if you get a chance, check it out. Today, I'd like to talk and maybe discuss the idea that our words are powerful. The words that we choose to use are very powerful. With our words, we have the ability to build somebody up. With our words, we have the ability to tear somebody down. With our words, we have the ability to encourage somebody. With our words, we have the ability to discourage somebody. That our words are really powerful. James, who was a stepbrother of Jesus, he was one of the leaders in the early church. He had this to say about our tongue and the words that we use. He says, "The tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of their life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell." Whoa. No man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Again, wow, pretty strong language about the tongue and words. A bit of a fun fact for you that I found out while I was preparing. Even though the tongue is a small part of our body, it has 8 muscles that it's made up of and that allows it to be flexible, and the average length of a tongue is 4 inches long. There you go. So what does all this have to do with me living in 21st century Pembeville? This talk about my words and the power that they have. Jesus, when he was talking to people in the Sermon on the Mount, he said that God wants to use his followers. He wants to use you. He wants to use me to show the world what the kingdom of heaven is like. He wants us and the way we live our lives to show the world, to show the unbelieving world what God is like. Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, "You and I are the light of the world." And he goes on in 5:16 to say, "Let your light, let my light shine before others so that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven." The kingdom of heaven values and the world values are often opposite each other, sometimes polar opposite. Kingdom of heaven living in my marriage, as an example, is that my marriage is founded on covenant, not contract. My marriage with Kathy before God is a marriage where I say, I'm making a vow to you, Kathy, no matter what. I am staying committed to you. No matter what you do, no matter what happens in our lives, I'm staying committed to you. It's not you do your part, I'll do my part. If that doesn't work out, we'll split up. And the reason covenant is so important, because that's who God is. So when I reflect covenant in my marriage, I'm reflecting who God is and his relationship with me. So what does, what should living look like, kingdom of heaven look like in our words, in our speech? The Apostle Paul writes to believers in Ephesus about our speech and our words, and he says it like this. He said, there should be no unwholesome talk among you, but only what is helpful for building others up. No unwholesome talk, and only what is helpful for building others up. Later on in the letter, Paul indicates why that's important. First of all, he talks about the motive. Why do we do that? And he said, be imitators of God as his dear children. That's why our talk is so important. Be imitators of God as his dearly loved children. And then in case they didn't really know what no unwholesome talk meant, he gives a pretty extensive list of things that we're to avoid. There's no obscenity, no foolish talk, no coarse joking. In another letter that Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he adds slander and gossip as these things that do not at all reflect who the character of God is. In the Old Testament, one of the wisest men, Solomon, had a lot to say in one of his books, which many of you probably are aware of, the book of Proverbs, where he talks a lot about our words. And he talks about the cause and the effect that our words can have. And he says things like, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. He says that when words are many, when we're talking a lot, when we're just talk, he said, sin is not absent, but a person who can hold their tongue is a wise person. He also says that the Lord detests lying lips. Lord detests it when we are telling lies, but he delights in those people who tell the truth. And Solomon had a lot to talk about with fools. And he says, a fool's lips bring them strife. A fool's mouth, his undoing. So my question maybe for you today is, how can we have our speech, our words transformed to shine the kingdom of heaven into our world, into this valley? And I think there's a few possibilities. One is object lessons. Object lessons can be very helpful. To help me. When Kathy and I were doing youth work, one of the object lessons we would use around the idea of choosing our words is a tube of toothpaste. Maybe you've heard or seen this demonstration as well, where you give each of the kids a tube of toothpaste and you say, ready, set, go. And the idea is they have to empty their toothpaste as fast as they can. Well, the kids love it. It's a mess. So if you ever try it, make sure you've got lots of cleanup stuff nearby. But it is a riot to watch this. So the kids, obviously the toothpaste comes out of the tube really, really fast. And then part B of the activity is we say, okay, now we're going to give $20 to whoever can put all their toothpaste back in the tube. And the kids start, and they're making a mess and everything else. And then finally they go, well, we can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Hence the point that when words come out of our mouths, there's no way that we can take those words back. Think, Mark, before you speak. And that can be helpful. Another help can be word sifters. They seem to be popular these days. One of the ones that I saw just recently when I was in the malls is four word sifters, four questions that I should be asking myself before I say something. Maybe you've seen these ones as well. The first one is it true? Is what I'm about to say true? The second one, sifter, is it helpful? Is what I am going to say going to help? The third one, is it necessary? Do I really have to say this? And the fourth one is it kind? True, helpful, necessary, and kind. And again, nothing wrong with those word sifters and me thinking about that before I speak. The only weakness I find in that is if I find myself in a situation where emotions are high, when it's a difficult conversation, when feelings are hurt, sometimes it's hard to go through those sifters and those object lessons. And things that are said, things come out that are hurtful. Things come out that I wish I could take back. But I think Jesus had it right. I know Jesus had it right. When he said, what comes out of my mouth has come out of my heart. What's coming out of my mouth is what I have in my heart. Having my speech transformed, having my words transformed is not about object lessons. It's not about word filters. It's about having my heart changed. What did James say? No one can tame the tongue. No one. No amount of effort, no amount of trying. Am I going to be able to tame my tongue? It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. Having my speech and my words transformed is about having my heart transformed. And that's something really only God can do. I love a song by Cody Carnes. It says, Run to the Father. And it talks about heart transformation. And in part of the song, he says, my heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. That this heart transformation, this process of having my heart changed, is a process. Sometimes it's three steps forward, two steps back, but hopefully there's process being made. Jesus says to us that we are the light of the world. Maybe this year, with God's help, let's light up our marriages and our families. Let's light up our relationships with our friends and with those who aren't our friends. Let's light up our community in this valley with Holy Spirit-filled words and conversations, so that others will hear and give praise to our Father in heaven. God bless you in 2020.